We thank you, Father, that you always have ears to hear us. Help us to have ears to hear you, Lord. Lord, we pray with Sharon for her mom. Would you be with her as she's in skilled nursing, Lord, as she's battling Parkinson's. We pray for your grace, strength. Lord, we lift up this prayer, Lord, for Macy, who broke her hip in the hospital, Lord. She recently lost her husband. We pray, Lord, for your strength to be with her. Lord, we pray for CJ as he is deployed. Pray for Pat Lakey, Lord, for your healing and strength for him. Lord, we pray for Steve and Leanne Kerr, Lord, as they're traveling home from Alabama. And, Lord, both of them have been battling illness and sickness. And, Lord, we pray that you would help them on their way home. God, would you give them a clear path, and Father, that there would be no incidences and they could get home safely. And Lord, just pray that the symptoms of the illnesses would hold off to let them get home. Lord, we pray for Bill Simone, Lord, for his surgery this week, that it would be fully successful. We pray for Julie, Lord, the issues she's been having would go away through the physical therapy. Lord, would you grant her the ability to walk and to walk strongly, unhindered, Lord. Father, we pray for this request for a brother needing prayer. We pray for Miracle Cooper, Lord, for the doctor to know which treatments for her to take. Father, for Mike, who is ill. And Lord, also for his retirement. Father, we pray for Carrie. Lord, as he went through a quadruple bypass surgery this week, give healing and strength and help and peace. Father, we pray for Mark and Rachel, Lord, as he is now under hospice care. God, we pray for your strength and comfort for them, him and his family. Father, we pray for John Long, whose cancer has returned. We pray, Lord, for Sherry, strength, for Ken, for who had an allergic reaction to meds. Father, we pray for Jenny Mangrum, Lord, who's in Florida and away from home and out of state, not feeling well. God, we pray for relief and strength and help and coverage for her, Lord. Lord, the only thing worse than being sick is being sick away from home. We pray for her. Lord, we pray for this request for better relationship with you, Father. Lord, I pray that would be all of our prayer, or that we would ask for your strength and help. We also pray for this one who's praying for their father. Pray for Josh and Olivia Berry, Lord, and the loss of their four-year-old. God, what an awful tragedy. And we ask, God, for your grace and strength for them. Lord, surround them with your people. Lord, we lift up this prayer for godly counsel. For a sister, Lord, who's battling vertigo and eye surgeries coming up. Lord, we pray for our youth and all the sponsors going to camp. Amen. Lord, our first prayer is that you would guard them and keep them and surround them with your love and your peace and your grace and your help. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in every heart. God, that you would bring the gospel of those, to those who need to receive you as Lord and Savior, that you would reignite those who need to be revived. God, that you would call those to your service, those that you are going to call. And Father, we pray that you would you give grace and peace and strength and a wonderful unity to this group, Lord Father. Lord, we pray for the silent requests. We know you know each. Pray for Morgan. And Lord, we lift up the nation of Israel. Father, there is a need there, Lord, during this time, and we ask for your leadership, for your Holy Spirit to guide those who are in leadership. Give wisdom. Every decision maker, Lord, we pray, would be pulled by your Holy Spirit to good decisions. Amen. Father, we pray for our own country. God, that you would not only continue to protect, but Lord, would you give our leadership wisdom to know how and when and what to do, Lord, as far as being allies. Father, I pray for those here that may not know you, that may need to receive Christ Jesus even today as Lord and Savior. Would you draw them to yourself? Let us be agents of encouragement, Lord, that we might see even one today to surrender their heart and life to you. This we pray in the name of Christ Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Would you turn with me to the Gospel of Mark? The Gospel of Mark, and we're going to be look into chapter 10 and towards the end of that chapter. I would love to share with you, as you're finding that, something that was shared with me during my sabbatical time. And over the weeks to come, probably months to come, I'll be sharing some different things that God laid on my heart. And I just want to tell you that the time was exceptionally beneficial. It was helpful. It was just what I needed. And I want to tell you that God provided, especially in those times when I was feeling this need when I was away. I said, you know, maybe I could just start preparing some extra sermons and get ahead. Or maybe I need to do this or I need to do that. Pull out my calendar. So every time something like that happened, God provided someone in my path to redirect me to say, what is this time about? What is this time for? And God worked wonderfully to make sure that I took time for rest and for revisiting deeply His Spirit. One of the times that I was there, I was at Billy Graham's conference center called The Cove. I don't know if any of you've been. You need to go. It is a wonderful experience. But while I was there, the pastor on duty, who was my guide during my spiritual walk that week, he was the pastor who was put in charge, and the Lord knew just what he was doing and bringing Brother John to me that week. And as I was sharing with him, he says, let me just tell you, I know that you pastors have a hard time resting. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm up here, aren't I? He said, yeah, but he said, how many times have you thought about you need to do this, you need to do that? And I just looked at him and grinned. And he shared with me, and he also shared then again later with others in our group. He said, let me tell you that a spiritual experience, when you want to meet the Lord and you want to have time with God and you want to have some very important and focused time with the Lord, he said, let me tell you something that you need to do. So I'm telling you what he shared with me. So I'm going to tell you that if you want to have some very special time with God, you want to have a time where you can hear from the Lord and you want him to speak to your heart and you want him to be able to hear, here's what he shared with me. He said, seeking the heart of God is like a spiritual dance. And at first I went, Oh boy, here we go. Some weird illustration, but I'm going to tell you, it ministered to my heart, so listen. He said, if you want to spend time with the Holy Spirit, he said, it's going to be like you would if you were going to have a dance. He said, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to clear the floor, right? He said, you can't dance with the furniture all everywhere. He said, clear the floor. In other words, he's saying, clear out my life. Clear out the clutter. Get rid of the things that might get in the way. That makes sense, right? Yeah. Secondly, choose your partner and choose wisely. He said, you've got to choose to spend time with the Holy Spirit. He says, so choose the Holy Spirit. And then when you choose the Holy Spirit and you are going to engage with Him in time together and you're going to have your dance with the Holy Spirit, so to speak, he said, now you've got to do the most important thing. And that is you have to choose who is going to lead. I wonder how many times I have cleared my schedule. I have chosen to spend time with the Holy Spirit. And then I led. And the Holy Spirit couldn't take me where He wanted to take me because I was too busy in the lead. Does that make sense? I wonder, am I the only one that needed to be reminded of that? This morning, would you stand with me? With that thought in mind, we must choose the Holy Spirit and we must choose to let Him lead. We are going to read about Bartimaeus, a blind man who sees. One of my favorite passages. I know some of you love this too. It says that Jesus and His entourage with the disciples were headed to Jericho. And it says that now they came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho, verse 46, as He came out of Jericho with His disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Now, can you see him? Now, he was sitting by the road because we know he was sitting by the road. He couldn't just be wandering around. He was what? He was blind. So he's sitting by the road, and you know he's sitting close by because he wants to be able to be heard by the people as they go by. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was passing by, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. You know, there are more ways to be blind than just with your eyes. Amen. Father, would you speak to our hearts? And Lord, it is our prayer. Please agree with me with this, dear friends. Open our spiritual eyes that we might see Jesus at work. And then call our hearts to join Him. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you be seated? Now we're going to go through this verse by verse this morning. Verse 46 and 47 says, now they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Now look at verse 47 with me. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So let's set the scene here. Bartimaeus is sitting by the road. He is begging because he cannot make a living because he's blind. Now, as he's sitting by the road, this big crowd came by. Now, when Bartimaeus hears the crowd and he knows that more people are passing by, I'm sure he went into full alms mode. Are you with me? I mean, this is a man who knows when there's an opportunity. And this blind man is sitting by the road. This huge crowd comes by, and Bartimaeus is there. Alms for the blind. And I know he's got a big crowd. He's going, man, it's going to be a good day. Maybe I can actually pay for some food this week, take care of some bills. And he's begging because it's the only way he can make a living. So he's begging, alms, alms, alms. When he heard that it was Jesus in the crowd, he changed his tactics. Did you notice? What did he do then? He cried out what? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Now, look, notice what he said. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Now, this is significant. He could have just called out for the name of Jesus, knowing that he was a good teacher. But he did more. He called out for Jesus and called him by the title Son of David. Now, why is that significant? You probably know. This title signifies that Jesus is a descendant of King David and that he is a part of the line and the lineage that God has set up for the Messiah of all Israel to be brought to mankind. And this title, as he boldly calls out, Jesus, Son of David. What is he saying? He's saying that he believes that Jesus is the coming Messiah. It is a statement of belief. It's a statement that he believes the prophecy and that Jesus is the answer to the prophecy for Israel's need for a Savior. His proclamation then moves from a public statement of belief to a cry for help. I mean, after all, this guy's got needs. He calls for help and he says, Jesus, the one in whom I believe is the coming Messiah. Who is the Messiah? The one in whom I believe is the answer for all of Israel. Have mercy on all of Israel? No, have mercy on who? Me. Does this tell us something about our prayers? I don't think we have any problem with praying for me. But here he did. It's okay to pray for my needs. A cry for help. Have mercy on me. He did not want to miss his chance to call the Messiah to his aid. I think it's important, dear friends, that you take note that we need to take care to make opportunities happen when we can. God gave him this opportunity and he called out to Jesus, have mercy. Then look what happened. Look at verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he called out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So what were they saying? They were saying, be quiet. Now I want you to look at the word here that's used in the New King James Version. It says here, then many warned him to be quiet. Now, does that sound passive to you? Did they warn him? It sounds to me like they were being a little more aggressive than just saying, shh, settle down. After all, they were all trying to get the attention of Jesus, and people on the outskirts were trying to see. And when he kept calling out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy, they finally said, if you don't get quiet. Do you understand that? I think that it was a threat. They warned him. They didn't just say, shh, shh, be quiet, be quiet. They warned him to be quiet. And yet, when the crowd told him and warned him to be quiet, what did he do? He cried out all the more, the scripture says. Now, he was very vulnerable, was he not? I mean, after all, he's blind. What's he going to do, run away from the crowd? All it takes is one smart aleck to trip him up. One person to steal what he's already got. One person to cause problems for him. And literally, he could come to physical harm. And not only that, there's a lot of social pressure here. People are saying, there's something important going on. Would you just be quiet? You know what they said, don't you? They said, shut up. They were rude. They were cold. And here he was trying to get the attention of the Savior. And they were saying, you need to settle down. Again, I'm going to say that's a lot of social pressure. And I'm going to tell you, our peers, the social etiquette of our day may tell us not to cry out to Christ Jesus. Don't call attention to this man, the Messiah. Don't call attention to your need. Don't call attention to your belief in this man, because his first statement was one of belief. His first statement was one of a fulfilled prophecy of Christ. And they were saying, shut up. Get quiet. How many times have we been told the same thing? You can't talk about that at school. You can't talk about that at work. You can't wear that cross on your lapel. Do you know that we literally know of policemen that were fired from the force because they wore a cross on their lapel? I'm sure it would have been fine if they wore other symbols. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to Christianity, the world is always saying, shut up. How do we respond to the norm in our society? I'm going to tell you, take a lesson from Bartimaeus, amen? Cry out all the more. When somebody says, don't be talking about him. Don't call about your attention to your belief in a Savior. Don't believe in share out loud. It's not appropriate for you to talk about him being Messiah, nor is it appropriate to talk about your need. Well, listen, I think we need to remember and be reminded from Bartimaeus that we should respond appropriately to God, whether it's in our need or whether it is in our testimony. We need to share what we know and who he is. Bartimaeus knew this was Jesus. He knew this was the Messiah and that he had the power to help him. He wasn't about to listen to the squelching voices of the crowd. They would have turned him down. They would have muted him. They would have made him silent. So he cried out all the louder, not to the men around him, but above the men around him, to the Savior. And we see that when he cried out, something happened. Look at verse 49. So Jesus stood still. When did Jesus stand still? When he cried out all the louder, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. When Bartimaeus cried out again fervently, Jesus stood still. Jesus heard his call. Jesus stopped everything, and he said, come to me. Dear friend, I'm going to tell you, it makes a difference the way you pray. When you call out to Jesus fervently, not only does he hear, he responds. You go back to James chapter 5, and it says, the faithful, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when he called out fervently, Jesus stood still. If you will call out earnestly to Christ Jesus, he'll stop for you too, because he has ears to hear your voice in your need. Now I want you to see how the crowd changed their tune. First it said what? When he kept crying out and he kept crying out, he says that they warned him to what? Be quiet. They warned him to be quiet. And now, above the din of all the people talking and shouting around Jesus, Jesus hears the voice of Bartimaeus, who says, Son of David, have mercy on me. And now that he heard his voice, and he hearkens to the voice, and he says, bring him to me. Now all of a sudden the crowd changes their voice. Now they're saying, oh, be comforted, Bartimaeus. He calls for you. Bunch of hypocrites. We need to be very careful, don't we?
when we call somebody else a hypocrite? They were saying, he's calling for you. Take courage. Man, the world is so fickle, it's ridiculous. Amen. Now, instead of saying, shh, shh, be quiet. Oh, be comforted. Go to him. Don't trust the world to tell you what's right. Amen. Do not trust the world to tell you what to do or when to do it. Just do what is right, no matter what the crowd around you says. Amen. Do what is right. You share your testimony of what Christ Jesus has done for you. You share that he is the Messiah, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Do what's right. Years ago, I was asked to visit a man who was ill. I'd never met him before. I suppose he might have come to the church where I was pastor at the time, and he might have come there. I just didn't know him, didn't know that he did. I don't think he ever had. But I was asked, would you please go talk to him? He is very, very ill. He's probably in the process of dying. And would you go and witness to him? Now, this is one of his family and friends who asked me to do this. I went to his house, knock on the door, cold turkey, never been there before. Hi, I'm Gary Ladd. I'm the pastor of such and such a church. And I was wondering, do you have time for me to stop and pray with Mr. So-and-so? And he answered the door. And I said, are you him? Yes. That's me. May I come? Yes, come in. We sat down. Folks, I visited for a little bit about little things around, you know, things going on. And then I got to the gospel, and I shared through the gospel, and I got to the point after I shared with him about his need, who Jesus was, how he could be saved, what he needed to do, and I said, is there any reason that this very moment that you would not want to invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? He said, no reason at all. I said, so you're telling me that you want to ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? He said, yes. And his wife sitting across the room, telling him across the room, says, oh, you don't really need to do that. He stopped and was taken back. And I overcame her. I just got my voice a little higher. And I said, is there any reason that you would not want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He goes, no, I'd like to do that. She said, oh, you don't need to do that. She said, that, you know, you're okay. You're doing all right. Now, I don't know what was going in her heart, but I think she had a little guilt knowing that she needed him too. I don't know what the deal was, but I know Satan was speaking through somebody. And it wasn't me. Did you know that that night he said, you know what, just let me think about it a while. He said, I don't know. And he refused then. He did not accept Jesus Christ. Do you know that 2 days later, I got a phone call that man was dead? Now you tell me where he is. Unless he overcame the prodding of the one who was his crowd. Folks, we know that he did not go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got to ask you, who are you going to listen to? Will you keep them from doing what you need to do? Sometimes you can talk yourself out of it, amen? Sometimes you can let a wife or a husband talk you out of it, or your family, or your friends, or the crowd, or even the world. I don't remember who it was who said this, but I'm just going to do my best to quote him. He said, why in the world would you keep people that wouldn't even attend your funeral if you died today keep you from accepting Jesus Christ? These people wouldn't even attend your funeral if you died. And yet they want to talk you out of receiving the Lord Jesus? I want you to notice what happened next. Look at verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Remember, the crowd said, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling to you. And it says, and immediately, he throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. He threw away all encumbrances. Now, it says that he threw away his garment. I'm guessing by the way that it's written there that it means his outer garment, which was probably a robe that went down to his feet. Now, why in the world would a blind man throw away his covering? Because he didn't want to trip over it on the way to Jesus. He wanted to get there quick. Listen, you recall that they wore these long robes, right? And when a man who was traveling and wanted to travel quickly, wanted to go fast, you know what he had to do? He had to expose his legs. Blasphemy. A man exposing his legs. He would take up the hem of his garment and pull one side this way and the other side this way, and he would hold it up this way. And you know what he could do then? He could run. Now listen, I don't know that Bartimaeus was doing any running that day. But you know what I do know he did? He got everything out of the way of his feet so that he could not be kept from Jesus. He was on his way. He didn't let anything get in his way. He got rid of all encumbrances. Folks, he cleared the dance floor. He knew who he wanted to be with, and he cleared the way. He threw anything that would hinder him and got it out of the way from so that he could get to Jesus. You know what that's called? Total abandon. That's childlike. That's what children do. You know, a child will do whatever you tell him the first time, and if you don't catch him from when he jumps, he's not going to do it the next time. I know I had one that way. I told him, I said, come to me. And he wouldn't come. So somebody said something, and I turned and looked, and that's when he chose to jump. I based that on some of my kids' problems, you know. Hit his head when he fell. But the problem is, a child will believe you. If you say to a child, I hung the moon, he's going to want you to tell him how you did it. If you tell a child, I can protect you, they're going to believe you. If you tell a child, this is what you need to do, that's what they do. When you tell a child, they trust. And that's exactly what was happening here. He was coming to Jesus with a childlike abandon that says, nothing is getting my way. I'm jumping. He's going to catch. That's what he was doing. Do we do that? Total abandon. He didn't worry about losing what he had. Now, this man was blind. I don't imagine that he had a way of buying too many more garments, but he threw it aside so it wouldn't get in the way. He didn't let his possession get in the way. He didn't let his covering get in the way. He didn't let his pride get in the way. He just said, just let me get to Jesus. Question, what are you allowing to keep you from Jesus? A possession? Pride of a covering of some type? What is it that's keeping you from Jesus? Have you ever been too proud to call on Jesus to admit your needs? Now, I'm going to tell you part of that is this one, too. And I've had people tell me, oh, I would say, don't you want to come to know Jesus? Same question I asked that man. Is there anything preventing you from calling on Jesus right now to accept him as your Lord and Savior? He will forgive you anything. Oh, Pastor, you just don't know what I have done. I've heard that so many times. You know what my response is? Oh, dear friend, you just don't know my Jesus. He is so able. He is so forgiving. He'll receive you just like you are. Let him do the cleaning. You just do the coming to him. Amen? Have you ever been too proud to call on Jesus? It might have even been, oh, you just don't know what I've done. Listen, you know what you've done. God knows what you've done, and he still says, come to me. Maybe you'll go to him in private, but you won't do it in front of friends or a coworker. You won't call out to him in a crowd. You won't pray in front of anybody else. Will you give thanks around your table at home? Maybe you won't even do that. But if you'll do that at home, will you give thanks around the table at home, but you won't do it in a restaurant because you're too ashamed of the name of Jesus to bow your head and give him thanks in public? Are you ashamed to let other people know that you depend on Jesus. Listen to Luke chapter 9, verse 26. Jesus said, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory." I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. I know my sin. I know my failings. But I also know my Savior. And the covering of his blood has taken care of my need for righteousness, because I had none of my own. Jesus gave me his. Bartimaeus, listen. Bartimaeus let his need factor overcome his embarrassment factor. He let his need factor overcome his pride factor. And he cast off anything that would get in the way. And he rose and he came to Jesus. He didn't wait. He didn't question. He just started toward the sound of the voice. I think we're that way sometimes. We don't know exactly how to get to Jesus. We don't know exactly where to go. We don't know exactly what to say. All you've got to do is follow the voice. Amen? Hear his word from the Bible. Hear his word and go towards his voice. Jesus will meet you on the way. You know, I wonder sometimes if perhaps that man that I told you about, that I witnessed to, maybe he thought he had more time. Maybe he thought he was going to live longer than he did. But I'm going to tell you, you know what God's word says? Today is the day of salvation. It never says in God's word that tomorrow is the day of salvation. Tomorrow never comes. Today is the day of salvation. The time to come to Jesus is right now. Don't let anything get in the way. Now I want you to look what happened next. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Look at verse 51. "So Jesus answered him and said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I might receive my sight.'" Now there's an obvious question for you. Here comes a man and he's looking for Jesus. And Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you? A new bicycle?" We get so lame in our brain, don't we? When Jesus says, "What do you need?" "Oh God, more money, a better job, a bigger house, a nicer car." "My sin? I'm not worried about my sin." Our need is to be forgiven. Bartimaeus saw his need. His immediate need was sight. And Jesus Christ gave it to him. Don't you think that Jesus already knew his need? Amen. Obviously. I think Jesus heard him the first 10 times he called out, "Jesus, Son of David." I think he heard him, but he waited until he called out fervently. Jesus knew his need, but this man had to make the request. Jesus Christ is recorded as saying, "You have not." Why? "Because you ask not." And he asked for his sight. Look at verse 52. "Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus." What was it that healed this man? What healed him? What does this scripture say? Look to the word. What was it that healed him? Let's read it again. "Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way.'" Your what? "Your faith has made you well." His faith in what? Jesus. Jesus as who? The Messiah. The Son of David. Listen, this man professed who Jesus was. He didn't just call out to some man, some teacher, "Heal me, teacher." He called out to Jesus, the Son of God, the one that he knew and believed was the Messiah. So his faith went beyond just the fact that he thought this guy could heal him, but in who Jesus actually was. Why did Jesus heal this man's sight? Because that's what he asked for. I wonder how many times in my life I have missed a blessing because I failed to ask for it. Amen? He asked. He received. And then it says that he followed Jesus in the way, on the road. You know, it's absolutely thrilling to think that Bartimaeus followed Jesus when he was blind and came to him saying, "Jesus, Son of David, the Messiah. I know the prophecies are true. They're true for me." But now, with his eyes opened, he followed Jesus. And in just a few days, Bartimaeus is going to see more than he ever wanted to see. He's going to see Jesus Christ dying on the cross for his sin, for his redemption. Now, dear friend, I've got to ask you, is this the absolute proper question for me to ask at this time? Are you blind? Or have you also seen that Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David, has died for your sin as well and for mine? Look on him, dear friends. Look on him. Call to him. Look with spiritual eyes and see Jesus. Look with a spiritual heart and see Jesus, the Son of David. You, dear friend, have the opportunity to meet the living, loving, reigning Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11, 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That doesn't mean rest to crawl back in bed for an extra 30 minutes. It doesn't mean rest to sit down between hard labor. That rest means eternal hope, salvation, strength, and all the benefits that come from a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. It means resting in the fact that you know, that you know, that you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You know, the questions in life that really matter are remarkably few. Remarkably few. And they are all answered by Jesus' words, "Come unto me." Have you ever come to Jesus? Gentlemen, listen to me. Men especially, I speak to us because we have pride problems. We do. We just need to come to the place where we'll admit it. We have a pride problem. We need to be very, very careful of the stubbornness of our hearts, of my heart. Why is it, dear friend, that we will do anything in the world? We'll tackle a lion. We'll attack the dragon. We'll jump from a plane. We'll fight the hordes of the devil, but we won't get on our knees and say, "God, I'm needy." What's wrong? Why is it that you'll do anything else rather than becoming childlike and simply trust Jesus with your needs? Pride will keep you from that. Pride will keep you from admitting you have a need, and pride will keep you from taking your need to Jesus and saying, "This is what I need." The world is going to tell you to buck up. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps and take care of yourself, right? That's what we're told. And then when we do call out to him, they say, "Be quiet. It's not appropriate here. Keep your needs to yourself." Jesus said, come. Jesus says, come unto me, all who are weary. Are you tired of it all? Would you pray with me? Bow with me in prayer. Father, we pray that you would open hearts. Friends, men, women, teens, children, everybody, listen, don't turn me off because we're in prayer. You focus your heart on Christ Jesus. Turn to him and pray. Jesus is calling you. God, would you take these hearts that want to call out to you and let nothing stand in their way? Friends, God's Holy Spirit is inviting you. Will you follow him? You can choose him, but will you let him lead? Maybe you've never chosen him. Choose Jesus. Maybe you have chosen him, but like me, you get so distracted so often, and you need to be reminded that Jesus, his Holy Spirit, is the one who's supposed to be leading you. Perhaps your need is faith. It is your faith that will heal your heart. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus, will you do it now? Call on him. Just say, God, I believe. I believe. My need is forgiveness. My need is a Savior. If you're weak, and you've already done that, but you're weak and you just need some help, ask God for strength. Ask God for help. Jesus is whispering to your heart right now. I know some of you are hearing it, and he's saying, come unto me. Will you be simple enough and childlike enough to come to Jesus? Will you admit your need? Will you let go of your pride? Will you cast off anything and come to Jesus? Be of good cheer, my friend. Jesus is calling you. I'm going to ask my prayer partners to stand right now. All of my prayer partners, our deacons and others. And I'm going to ask you to go to the aisles, to go to the peripherals. And wives, deacons and wives, perhaps you need somebody to pray for you. Husband, wife, child, it doesn't matter who you are. But you'd just like somebody to pray for you. I've heard God's call. I believe he's the Messiah. I need to ask him as my Savior. These can help you with that. Or maybe you say, you know, I've been there. I've gotten off track. I need to throw away the encumbrances. I need to clear the room. I need to choose Jesus again and let him lead. If God is calling you for a need, I want to give you this opportunity to come. Would you stand with me? Everyone, would you stand? And if you'd like someone to pray with you and for you, there are folks literally all around. They've got a little prayer badge on, except for the ones right here in front. They didn't get one. We ran out. Praise God. Would you come? Would you bow with me in prayer? Would you pray? And if you'd like someone to pray with you and for you, you can come right now. Come as we pray.
Hi, I'm Pastor Gary Ladd. It's our hope and our prayer that God's word has touched your heart today. Perhaps you'd like to ask God for his help in your life right now. Did you know that you can call on God's Holy Spirit to help you through prayer right now, right where you are? If you pray sincerely in faith, the Heavenly Father will hear your prayer. He'll hear your prayer of confession, of forgiveness, and for comfort. If you already know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you know that God wants you to be closer to Him, to draw you in closer, would you pray right now and ask God to forgive you of your sin and to draw you in close to Him, to that personal love relationship that God wants you to have? Did you know that God's Word tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if you'll confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart or into your life, dear friend, please do that today. He wants to have a personal love relationship with you. He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. If God's Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart right now, this is how you can receive Him as your Lord and Savior today. It's really a simple, a very simple process of faith called admit, believe, and confess. Admit that you're a sinner and that you need God's help. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that He came to this earth, that He lived His perfect life, that He died on the cross for your sin, and that He rose again so that He might prepare a place for you in heaven. And then the last thing that you need to do is confess. Confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, the boss of your life, and that He is your Savior. If you'd like to do that right now, you can pray a very simple prayer and invite Him into your life. If you would, just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to know You personally. I acknowledge that my sins have separated me from You. Please forgive me of those sins, Lord. Thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for me, to die in my place. And thank You, Father, that He rose again to be my Lord and my Savior. I now ask You to rescue me from my sin, and I place my faith in You alone for forgiveness and for eternal life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, and you prayed that prayer in faith, believing, then, dear friend, you've begun your spiritual walk with God through Jesus Christ. Please let us know about this, won't you? This is just the beginning, and we'd like to pray with you and for you and to help you to start your process of growing with Jesus Christ. Please contact the church offices of Grace Point at the email that you see right there on your screen. If you'd like to access other sermons or helps, or if you'd like to find out more about Grace Point Ministries, service times, Bible studies, youth or children's activities, please look us up at the website on your screen right now, gpf.church. Thank you for joining us for our worship broadcast today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.